OWC Radio, episode number 34. A great conversation with Gino Generelli. Everyone, Tim Robertson here with OWC Radio, episode number 34 already. Wow, time flies when you're having fun, I gotta say. And I've got a great conversation, as I said just a minute ago, with Gino. Gino's with Mac Hero out of Chicago. They're an Apple specialist. He is a really great guy. I've never met him in person, at least as far as I know. But something that came up towards the end of our discussion that I wanted to hit on here at the beginning of the show is how many great people are out there, and especially in the Apple community, the Mac community, that I've been around for 20 years now. It's a community made up of people from every single background, from countries all over this planet. And it's very, very rare when I run across someone in this community that I don't like. It's full of creative, smart, and more importantly, nice. Nice people. It's nice to interact with people who are generally or genuinely very nice people. You know, when I first got into the Mac, I ran into problems because, you know, it was new to me. I would break things, couldn't figure out how to fix it. Although most of the time I did figure out how to fix it on my own, but I would use services like eWorld, first class BBS systems. I would use Zterm to dial into Mac bulletin board systems, AOL at the time. I would post questions and I would always get really detailed, thoughtful answers. And almost all the time that would, you know, that was the thing that fixed the problem for me. And then I kind of became the person on the other end. I would start visiting these kind of help sections and looking for questions that I knew the answer to help other people. I wasn't paid to do that. The people that were answering my questions, they weren't paid to do that. It's just that that's what we did. That was the community. And this still goes on today. I will visit a forum because I'm having a problem with whatever application and whatever app on my iPhone, and there's these really thoughtful answers. I like that. I think most people are helpful and genuine and nice, and I don't think that gets enough attention in the community. Do you? Seriously, I don't think that gets enough attention, and it probably should. And as I was talking with Gino, you know, we live in a 24-hour news cycle that, boy, it just seems like everything is this bad all the time. Well, you know what? It's not. Things are pretty good right now, I think. And in this industry, I think things are going fantastic. We've got great machines from Apple. OWC is making fantastic solutions for you. You can keep your old machines running with newer gear, making them as fast as they've ever been. You can take external hard drives and store every single thing that you want on them for not a lot of money. You know, it's a great time to really be into technology with the whole app things going on, the convergence between the living room and the computer, the HomeKit stuff where you can start controlling and monitoring other things around your house and business. It's an exciting time to be into technology, isn't it? To me, it really is. I hope more people are excited about what's going on nowadays. Seriously, I really do hope that. So one of the things I wanted to talk about before we get to the interview or the conversation, I hate calling it an interview. It is definitely a conversation with Gino, is the fact that this week, let me see. I got to pull up my calendar because I want to make sure I get my dates right. So today, as I record this, it's March 16th. You'll probably listen to this either on the 16th or the 17th. This week through the 20th is a pretty big week for me because starting on the 18th, although technically it's going to be on the 19th and 20th, Thursday and Friday of this week, I'll be at the McCall Conference in Detroit. That's MACUL. If you do a Google search for McCall Conference, you'll find it. If you're into education in the state of Michigan, this is the conference that you want to go to. And if you're going to be at the McCall Conference, come to the expo on the 19th and 20th and visit the OWC booth. You can finally get your hands on some of the products that you've always wanted to see in person right there at the McCall Conference. But if you can't get to McCall, next month in April, the 13th through the 16th, OWC will be in Las Vegas for the NAB show. So if you're in the Vegas area or you're thinking about going to NAB and you haven't made up your mind, maybe this will help you. We're going to be at NAB April 13th through the 16th. We're going to be located in the South Hall. Our area of the floor is 13905. But if you follow us on Twitter and Facebook, you're going to see a lot of NAB information coming up, where we're going to be, when we're going to be there. You'll see pictures during the event. Of course, you'll see the blog entries of what our booth looks like. We've got a brand new booth that we're debuting at NAB. And I have to say, the team at OWC has worked their tails off coming up with a brand new booth that I think is going to look fantastic. I haven't seen the booth yet. It's being built right now. And I'm excited. I really am. The products that we're going to show off, the way our booth's going to look, it's going to be fantastic. I will be at the NAB show myself. So if you are at NAB and you're looking for me, just look for the name tag. No, I'm not going to have a name tag on. But I'll be there. So come say hi. The team at OWC is going to be at NAB. Every single person at the booth is going to be able to answer any question you have. And hey, sometimes Larry, the founder of OWC, will be at our booth too. And it's a great opportunity for you to come up and meet a pioneer in this industry. Larry started OWC and he's still running OWC all these years later. You realize how rare that is in the technology world, that the guy who started it, that had the vision, is still doing it? That he just didn't sell out to some investor and move to Hawaii? That's not Larry. He's a hands-on guy. He is a pioneer in this industry. And if you want to meet him, he's going to be at NAB as well. So if he's not at the booth when you come by, leave us your card and we can call you when Larry shows up at the booth. So you can come and say hi to him and meet the legend himself. In the meantime, make sure you're following us on Facebook and Twitter. And look, that's where we post when sales happen. You'll be the first to be notified of it. And, not everything we carry is an unlimited supply, especially like the used Macs. Those are selling extremely well. Every Friday on both Facebook and Twitter, every day or every hour, I'm posting a different used Mac. So, let's see what's up there right now. Now, it's not Friday, but we sell them, year-round. The deals that you can get on a used Mac is amazing. Seriously, you don't always need a brand new computer for every person in your family. Maybe your kids just need a little Mac Mini. And why spend, $1,000 on a Mac Mini when you can get a really good used Mac that, oh, by the way, has a warranty on it? And right now we've got Mac Mini starting at $195. I mean, that's cheaper than an iPhone. And it's a whole computer. It's a Mac Mini. We got iMacs from $899, Mac Pros from $689. MacBook Airs 13s and 11 inch starting at $519, MacBook Pro 15 starting at $898, and we even have some 13 inch MacBook Pros. Those go really fast. So if you're interested, go to MacSales.com and there's a big sign right in the middle that says used Macs, and $648 is what they're starting at. Now we've got a few different ones. They go from $648. $678 and $699 right now, but it is limited quality. In fact, the $648 one, we've only got two left. By the time you listen to this episode, it might be gone. So if you're thinking about buying a used Mac, now is the time. Don't wait. We can only sell what we have, and once they're gone, there's no guarantee we're going to get that model back at that price. So if you see a really good deal on the site, snatch it as quick as you can, because it's just not going to last. So anyways, again, I'm going to be at the McCall Conference the end of this week. And if you're in the area, I'd love to meet you in person. Love to show you the products that we have there at the booth, the 19th and 20th of March, Cobo Arena, Detroit, Michigan. And of course, NAB April 13th through the 16th in Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Conference Center. Is it Conference Center? Yeah. South Hall, booth 13905. It's at Max Sales on Twitter, and it's facebook.com/OWC Max Sales. Of course, I would love to get feedback from you. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think of the new announcement Apple made last week on the Apple Watch and the new MacBooks. Are you interested in this MacBook with one port USB-C? I mean, it hasn't been released yet, but is this something that you're interested in? If so, why? And if not, why? I'd really love to get your opinion. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, why Apple would have this MacBook that's less capable than the MacBook Airs, which are so close in weight. I mean, once it's in a backpack, you're not going to tell the difference anyways, right? I don't know. I'd love to get your opinion on it. Of course, the MacBook Airs aren't Retina display either, so maybe that's the big difference. Let me know your opinion, because I really want to know. I want to understand why somebody would or would not be interested in this MacBook, this new one, as well as the Apple Watch. Are you going to get one? You know, we've had two big shows from Apple now where they've got on stage, did the song and dance, showed us all these really cool things about the Apple Watch, some use case scenarios. Is this something that kind of fits into your life that you can't wait to get it on your wrist? Or is it something that you're thinking, it doesn't really fit my lifestyle, I'm not interested, or maybe you're going to wait for the second or third generation? Remember, this first generation of the Apple Watch has to be tethered to your iPhone. Are they eventually going to come out with an Apple Watch that's not tethered to your iPhone? Will it have enough storage that you don't have to have everything on the iPhone and streaming over to it? Will you have to, if it's a standalone device, will you have to have a carrier plan with it like you do with your phone? I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. I got to imagine they're going to eventually have a standalone Apple Watch, yeah? I think I would personally be more interested in if it was a standalone Apple Watch than one tethered to my iPhone. But I always got my iPhone with me, so what do I care that it's tethered to it, right? Interesting conversation with Gino. I think you're going to enjoy it. He is a great guy. If you're interested in his company and learning more about it, it's machero.com. machero.com. Have I been talking fast? I feel like I've been talking really fast at the beginning of this show. Got a lot to say. I'm excited. Excited about this conversation with Gino. Check it out. And we are back here on OWC Radio. And as I said, we have a special guest this week. He's a Mac hero. Not everyone can say that, but this guy is literally a Mac hero. His name's Gino Generelli. Did I say that right this time?
Yeah, you got it perfect. Okay, right on.
As soon as I said it, I thought, nope, I messed that up. Because I usually do. So you're a Mac hero, Gino.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, you pronounced hero wrong. We say ero.
Yeah, right.
No, Mac Hero is the name of my company. And we're an Apple specialist. And our goal at the end of the day is we just like to get technology to work for people.
Now, you are in the Chicagoland area. So we've had some customers that were, you know, back when I was my last job, we had customers that kind of worked with you guys, worked with my company at the time. So I always heard really good things about you guys. And a friend of mine applied for a job with you guys, and that's how you and I started talking again via LinkedIn. And I thought, you know what, this is the kind of guy we should really have on OWC Radio, because you are out there in the trenches supporting the Apple platform, and you've been doing it for a very, very long time. So I thought, he's going to have some cool insights, but more than that, I want to learn a little bit more about him. So my first question is, when did you really get into kind of working with Apple products?
High school. For me, it was high school. Yeah, I had so I was kind of a poor kid in high school. I could not afford a computer, but I like envied everyone who had computers. You know, I used to go over my friend Rob Gannon's house and play, the SSI Dungeons and Dragons games on his, you know, Mac LC2. And, you know, and I would like love going over there and like playing video games on his Mac. My school had a great technology program And
did you grow up in Chicago?
No, I grew up in Shrewsbury. Well, I went to high school in Shrewsbury, Massachusetts.
Wow.
And so it was a twist of fate that, you know, in high school, we moved from Worcester to Shrewsbury. Shrewsbury had an amazing technology program. I am now a huge advocate of technology programs because I would not be where I am today without access to technology at the school. I was there in the labs every day after school playing with that stuff. They used to give me like old computers that they were going to throw out, and I would like hoard them in my basement.
What was it about the technology that drew you in? Is it that it was intuitive for you, or it was you just had to know how they worked, or what was it?
All of the above. I was really into graphic design, so I was the school like the layout editor for our school literacy arts newspaper, and I loved doing the graphic stuff. So it was kind of a creative outlet. But then I got into the tech end too, and I liked to know how things worked, and I liked to make it work faster, make it work better, customize it, you know, playing with extensions and stuff like that at the time. And, you know, that was it for me. Like, I used to work at my high school on over summer break, you know, installing RAM and, you know, video card modules for the PowerBook 5300s and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I just got into it at a really young age. And then when I graduated high school, I actually got a job out of high school with a Mac peripheral developer called VST Technologies. I don't know if you remember those guys.
I do remember them, yeah. I've been doing this for a long time.
Okay. So I was like employee number 30-something at VST Technologies and I was a QA test guy. So it was cool. I worked for the engineering department. My job was to play with VST stuff all day long and try to break it.
That's and a hard job, huh?
It was a fun job. It was really fun. And then tell the engineers, like, hey, if I do this and this and this and this and in this combination and then I try to copy something, it crashes. You know, and so I had to try to find those bugs, or if someone from tech support would say, hey, people are having this bug, I'd have to try to figure out how to reproduce it. So that was super useful because I learned kind of early on that being able to reproduce errors and kind of, you know, trying to track down errors like that and narrow it down and make it reproducible, super helpful now doing tech support. Because that's what it's all about.
It also kind of exposed you to, I would imagine anyways, different programs and different environments that you wouldn't have been able to use or get familiar with on your own because, oh, look, you have to have Adobe Photoshop because that's the app that this is causing this. So thus you get Adobe Photoshop on your computer and you get to, you know, become almost an expert at it.
Totally. Actually, the Final Cut team, we worked very heavily with the Final Cut team because VST made the very first FireWire hard drives.
I remember.
Back in the day. And they bought out like all of the Texas Instruments bridge chips. So like they cornered the market on those. So they were the only ones that could even make a FireWire hard drive for a long time because of that. And so we worked with the Final Cut team trying to qualify FireWire hard drives with Final Cut. Back early versions of Final Cut, and so I got to know Final Cut really well, and it was fun. I got to go to all the Mac Worlds and Apple Expo Paris. It was like the best.
Wow,
it was like the best
Expo
job.
Expo Paris too. That's that's big time.
It was pretty sweet.
what was your favorite Mac World Expo that you went to?
Definitely the last one we went to when I worked there because they were eventually bought out by SmartDisk, and then SmartDisk kind of shut down our office after a while.
Yeah,
of
course.
But the very last one was New York. And this is actually very timely right now because I worked with this really great guy, Guido, and Guido and I became really good friends, you know, working there together. And we convinced the marketing department that it would be really cool if they let us go a couple days early so that we could go around New York and just take videos and photos of us using all of the VST products because they were very built around mobility, portability, and digital media. And the company that bought us, SmartDisk, was really all about digital media. So we got to go to New York a couple days early, and we just like, we would go to like the subway and we would like record like musicians in the subway on a MacBook or on an iBook at the time. And then we would like burn them a CD like right there. which, you know, in like 2000 was pretty cool.
Oh, absolutely. No question.
You know, so we were like, so that was the most fun because Guido and I got to go there early and hang out. The reason why I say it's timely is because Guido and I are still friends. He still lives out east. And we're reprising that New York trip in a couple weeks.
Really?
And we're going to go, yeah, we're just for 2 days. I'm flying out there. We're just going to hang out in New York. Going to the same sushi restaurant we went to
So are you going to try to film in the same locations? Is that possible?
I don't think we have any of that. We've got a couple photos of that trip. And so, yeah, we're going to the same sushi restaurant. We've got a photo with the lady who owned the sushi restaurant. So we're going to recreate that photo. Beyond that, I think the only thing that we're doing that is sort of recreative of that experience was when we went to New York the original time, we saw the movie version of Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Oh.
And now we're going to see it on Broadway with John Cameron Mitchell. So we're excited about that.
Now, could you imagine having something like the iPhone back in 2000?
I would have been a developer, I think. If I had an iPhone back then, I would have been all about making apps.
You think so?
Yeah. I just don't think I have, because, you know, it's weird when you're younger, you have this time and energy to like tinker with stuff that I just don't have. You know, it's like I do, but I don't. But I think if I had it back then, I mean, I used to make like HyperCard programs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I used to love that. I'd spend hours making a stupid HyperCard game that was like not nearly as exciting as what you could do now. So I think if they had iOS when I was in high school, I probably would have just started coding like from day one.
It's hard to explain to people who are probably younger than we are the difference in at least the attitude towards developers nowadays and what it was back in the 90s and the early 2000s. It was night and day, really.
Yeah.
I mean, back then it was all about hardware and that's all that mattered. And mm-hmm. and now it seems to be more about, well, I don't know about more, but as much about the apps themselves as the hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's a good change or?
Absolutely. I think that everything that's going on right now is great. I am so thankful to live at a time when we have access to all of this convenience and possibility and opportunity. I think it's just fantastic. I wouldn't want to live in any other era.
So I have to ask them, Apple just had this big event exactly a week ago, wasn't it? Was it a week ago today or was it on Tuesday? I think it was Monday, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was just last week.
Yeah, just last week. Do you want an Apple Watch?
I want one. Am I going to buy one? Yes. Yes.
So what's the big use case for Gino? Why does Gino want or even need an Apple Watch? See, I keep wanting to put the I on there. The Apple Watch.
So this is how, I think, and this is sort of how I approach technology. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea why I want one yet. Here's what I've come to know about this is my experience with technology in general, is that I will figure it out. And that's exactly what happened with my iPad. iPhone, I knew pretty closely what I was going to do with the iPhone. I was going to use it as a phone, make calls, you know, so the applications were very apparent to me.
Yeah,
the iPad, and even still, when I have customers, they're like, why should I get an iPad? And it's like, it's hard to say. I'm like, it just gives you other options. That's the thing with technology, is that it's all about, you know, you learn technology, you learn what it can do, you understand what its capabilities are, and then it's all about the moment-to-moment inspiration of, oh my God, I could do that right now with my iWatch. I could do it right now with my iPad. And that's what I like about technology. I like having the options and having the tools around me, and then I organically figure out, like, oh, this is good for this. This is good for this. And that is how I have always adapted to technology. I've never basically sat down and like, I'm going to learn this. I'm going to. And I always advise my clients, I'm like, if you really want to learn this stuff, don't like force yourself to learn it and don't need it so much. Just play with it. It's all about playing, you know, and giving yourself space to enjoy your experience with the technology. And if it breaks, be like, oh, well, that's interesting. You know, and I know not everyone has the luxury to do that. But if you really want to learn this, people always ask me, like, How'd you get so good at this stuff? How do you get, you know, how it's like, I just play with it. I like playing with it. When I get 100%. Errors, most of the time I'm just like, oh, that's an interesting piece of the puzzle that I never knew before.
Yep.
And then I just figure it out.
Yep. I'm exactly the same way. That's how I got in. Well, let's say that's how I got good at technology. I was scared to death of computers when I got my very first one. And I remember it locked up on me and I couldn't go to the special menu and shut down. So I called, 1-800-SOS-APPLE and waited online for 40 minutes. And they finally said, well, have you turned it off and turned it back on? And I said, well, I can't. The mouse isn't moving or anything. They said, oh, I'll just reach around the back and turn it off and turn it back on. I said, really? And they said, yeah. I said, well, the last time I accidentally turned it off that way, the computer yelled at me. It said, you're not supposed to do it. She goes, no, it's okay. And I lost my fear. That made me lose my... I was like, I can just turn it off and turn it on? Okay, I'm not scared of this anymore. And so when problems developed, what's the worst that's going to happen? I have to reinstall the OS or something?
Yeah.
I'll be okay.
I think it's a lot like learning a language or learning a musical instrument. You know, you don't learn a language by memorizing the dictionary
right.
of that language. You learn it by learning it, you know, and you make mistakes and you make mistakes and other, and you get corrections and then you learn how it's a system. Well, your computer is, it's talking to you in a language. It may be a very cryptic language, but it's a visual language. It's, things are happening there. And you get good at technology by learning to interpret that language and know that like, oh, this really cryptic message really means this. It really, you get insight as to when things are happening. I'm like, oh, that's related to this completely different process that, and then you just got to get a sixth sense for it. You know, I can sit down at a workstation and if it's client will be like, oh, well, this is slow. And I'll sit down and I'll use it as they would use it. And I will be able to kind of say, yeah, this feels like a broken hard drive or this feels like
corrupted fonts.
Yeah, this feels like, because I know that this is how things behave when this is going on. And so a lot of that feeling your way through it just is kind of like, that's sort of the advanced levels. Those are the nuances of the language that are really kind of high level that you just get from experience.
And nowadays people have such an advantage over you and I back in the day, because if we broke something, it's broke. We got to figure out how to fix it on our own. Nowadays, you just pull out another computing device and Google something. We didn't have that option back in the day. We only had one computer. And if you wanted to get online, well, number one, your parents had to be off the phone first. If they were on the phone, you were waiting. And number two, if it was AOL, you might get a busy signal for the next 45 minutes. And then even if you did get online, there was no overreaching Google that had all the answers. Maybe Alta Vista, you might be able to find something there. But if you go back far enough, it's forums on AOL and it's digging and digging and looking and reading and just trying to figure out and finally posting a question, hoping somebody eventually will ask or answer that question. Nowadays, it's literally you pick up your phone, you ask Siri, and there's a whole bunch of results right there.
Yeah, it's incredible. And like, I can identify with that. I remember dialing into BBSs on a terminal.
Absolutely.
And Z-term. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like just watching that on a, 14-4 modem where it's like the lines of text are coming up slowly enough for you to, count
was
them.
Was the game Red Dragon? Am I thinking of the right one? There was it was text-based and you were at some hall and you went out to the forest and I think it was called Red Dragon.
It was either like Red Dragon Inn, either that or I'm thinking of it as another. There's probably another game called that, but I definitely remember like it may have been like Dragon Lord or Dragon Sun. I mean, all those games are like Dragon this.
Absolutely.
But I love those turn-based games. You couldn't wait for the next day because like you could take one turn a day because they didn't want you hogging the line because the BBS had like one, maybe if it was a really fancy BBS, maybe they had two lines.
Oh, Chicago had a great BBS, but I remember that, and so did New York. New York had a really good Mac-based BBS system. Mm. But, long distance calls back then, it was expensive. So you would jump on, you'd do your turn, and you'd get off. And if you could get off within a minute, you were rocking it. But you could have four or five different games going at all these different BBSs.
Yep.
I remember there was one out of Seattle, I think, called The Well, that I wanted in so bad, and I was never approved. I was like, I want to get it, because I heard so many cool things in Wired magazine about The Well, and oh my God, that's the one I have to be on. Maybe it was in San Francisco, but I don't know. It was in that corridor or somewhere up there. And I never got into it, though. I wanted to so bad, but Oh, well. So what drew you from the East Coast to the Midwest Chicago area? How did that happen?
So while I'm talking about all of this technology stuff going on, the other thing going on in my life was theater. And I actually went to school for theater. So I moved to Chicago because I had some friends that were like, hey, come move to Chicago with us. And I was living in actually Hartford, Connecticut at the time. And I'm like, yeah, I'll move to Chicago. That sounds great. You know, I wasn't in school anymore. And I was just doing that was when I first started freelancing, doing tech, Mac tech stuff on my own. It's kind of like a freelance guy. And then my friends, like a month before we were about to move, for one reason or another, the two of them, they had to drop out. And so
wow.
I was pretty much on my own. I moved out here. I got a job actually as a web developer because I did some of that. And wanted to start doing theater stuff, and I did a lot of theater stuff when I came here. I did quite a few musicals and shows and stuff like that. Then I started working for another Apple consulting company, Lappin Systems. Really, when I started doing that work, I'm like, I really enjoy this work. You know, this is what I really enjoy doing. A couple years later, I started Mac Hero, more just out of, I wanted to have my own spin on it. You know, I really liked doing this kind of work. I was very passionate about it. I liked my time working at Lappin, but I just kind of had my own ideas about how I wanted to, you know, create a company that was a little bit different and just had my own take on this kind of work.
And you had your background in running your own business, even if it was a small consulting business. I mean, it wasn't something completely different and out of the norm for you.
Yeah, exactly. I had done it before. I was doing a combination of I would do whatever someone would pay me for, but, you know, within limits.
I remember those days.
You know, like I would do web development because I had some HTML, CSS chops. And so I would do some coding and stuff like that. And then I would do, Mac repair stuff. Someone had a broken something. You know, I knew enough about taking stuff apart and putting it back together where I could fix most Mac problems. And so, yeah, it was pretty, you know, pretty within my comfort zone.
It sounds like initially then you came to Chicago with the theater, with the performance aspect. That was the forefront. And mm-hmm. the tech stuff was really to support that.
Yeah. It's gone.
Yeah, it's gone the opposite. Yeah. Do you remember exactly when that changed or was it more gradual?
Well, I think it's a constant back and forth, you know, like, and now things are different because I have my own company. The company is doing well. We're hiring people and it's growing. I haven't done any theater stuff in almost 2 years now. And so I'm really starting to miss it.
That itch.
Yeah, I'm getting that itch. So yeah. Looking for ways to kind of get back into it. And Chicago is actually a good place for that because there's a lot of performing arts opportunities where everyone kind of has a day job.
Absolutely. There's a lot of them.
Yeah. So there's still a lot of opportunity out there. So I might get back into it at some point. You know, we're building up enough personnel infrastructure where I don't have to be that guy 24/7. You know, I've got a great team that helps me with monitoring for after hours calls and stuff like that. So I don't have to do that every day. I can do that. We rotate. So I only have to do that, you know, one week out of four right now. So it's not too bad.
So you're not spending as much time as you used to actually on a client call. You assign that to somebody else and they go do that.
Yeah. So, both Mac Hero and me are making transitions. Mac Hero is transitioning to more of this, you know, the managed service model. I'm transitioning to more of a business owner. I still do a lot of the project management for our clients, and I'm still in some ways the cavalry. If everyone's really busy and there's an emergency and right. So it's got to go to someone, I'm still that guy. But you know, I'm very fortunate to have a really solid team of super smart people that help me. You know, I couldn't do it alone, that's for sure.
Now, as an Apple consultant, as an Apple specialist, how difficult was it for you anyways to see this transition from Apple making these machines that you can get certified on, you can go out and you can repair them right there, compared to now where it's all basically one piece? There isn't anything you can really do other than exchange the entire motherboard or, you know.
Well, yeah, no, that's totally true. I totally saw that coming. You know, once the iPad came out and I was like, yeah, we got to stop doing repairs.
Yeah.
So we actually stopped. We used to have a repair facility for out of warranty stuff. That was doing quite well in terms of, you know, people liked us. We had good Yelp reviews, and we had a drop-off place where you could check in a sick Mac and pick it up later, and we'd do all the things we needed to do. We weren't an AASP because Apple isn't, as far as I know, they're not handing that out anymore.
No.
So we just did after we did our consulting and we did out-of-warranty stuff. When our lease was up on that place, I just made the call and I said, you know what, we're going to switch to just consulting because this repair stuff has an expiration date on it. We're not going to be able to, at that time, things were very modular. There was, you know, we could get parts from various sources and, you know, it was all out of warranty stuff. So it was, you know, we did well, but I knew that wasn't. And the other thing is it's getting very replaceable now where, you know, your MacBook, maybe it's like $1,000, $1,500. You're not going to invest. If it's a couple years old, you're probably not going to invest $500 into fixing it when a new one is another, you know, is like 50%, you know, more. So we just saw that coming, and I made that call, and then we just kind of quit repairs cold turkey and have been on consulting only now for about 3 years. And then everything around our growth now is centered around consulting. We're trying to get more into the space of being advisors and helping people figure out how they should work with technology and not so much, you know, run into put out fires every time something blows up. We're trying to help people come up with good policies and practices and habits to make sure that their use of this technology is as beneficial as possible without, you know, more about preventative maintenance and just good, you know, being organized is really important.
So how does a company like Mac Hero find new customers? I mean, that's probably the secret sauce, I would imagine, in some respects, because let's be honest, there's a lot of people in the Chicagoland area who could do a lot of what you do, and they've tried, and they've failed miserably. What's the key to success for you guys, finding new customers and retaining those customers?
So I hate saying this, because I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but it's never been an issue for us. We've always had enough people coming to us where we don't advertise. We have a website. We've always been at capacity pretty much since. We've always had more work to do than we could do pretty much since I started the company. And I would say
word of mouth, though. I mean, is it because you've done such good work for other people that you're constantly getting that new stream of referrals to you?
We have incredibly high customer retention rate. And we help our customers, and the customers we have grown, and our business with them has grown. I think the way our model works and the way that we work with our customers, just with our existing customer base, our business has grown in and of itself. And then we do get very good word of mouth from our existing customers. And yeah, we do get, you know, we get referrals. I network a lot. I'm involved in a lot of business networking. So as far as straight up advertising, Well, let me put it this way: the real question that I'm struggling with is how do we grow our staff?
Yeah.
You know, how do we find other? And for that, I think that
Job, Gino. I'm sorry, I've got a job.
I was just gonna sell you on us. But I mean, it's true. I mean,
podcasting recruiting.
Well, I mean, it's true. I mean, what I've learned is that the things that we are super focused on are organization, good communication. Like, those are the key things. You have to be super well organized and have good communication skills so that our customers trust that we have the ball on stuff. And as far as the tech end of things, I'm realizing more and more that we kind of have to grow our own when it comes to, you know, there might be someone out there that's got some good tech chops, and that's always a good starting point. But it's easier for us to train someone on the Mac end of things than it is to teach them how to be organized, because we have a lot of high standards when it comes to customer response. You know, like we have guaranteed response rates, and, you know, a lot of our customers, they know that if they email us, they're going to get a response ASAP, you know, within a day. At the very most, if it's an emergency, they get a response in an hour. So we're super disciplined about that. So, you know, the book that really started me on starting my own company was the David Allen book, the Getting Things Done book. That's like been my Bible since day one of starting my business, because it teaches you how to prioritize and stay super well organized and get a lot done in a little bit of time. And so our customers, and I have very high standards when it comes to that stuff, but our customers just think we're magic. You know, they just think, like, they just think that we, like, they send an email off to one address, and then within an hour, it bounces around our internal system until the right person gets back in touch with them and we solve their problem.
Process, procedure, and people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I like those P's.
Yeah, the P's actually work. I mean, that's kind of been the success for OWC as well. You get the right people, you put the right processes, and you have the right products. And it's not easy to kind of teach other people that. They either get it or they don't get it. And it's really hard to interview people to find out if they get that. It's difficult. So I understand your, I don't want to say troubles, but it's a good problem to have, though. It's getting more difficult for you to find qualified people to help your business grow. That's a good problem to have.
Yep. But we're getting there little by little. You know, every person we add, it gets a little bit easier, and hoping that there's that, you know, for me, I like to kind of be the business owner that is focused very much on strategy and creating procedures and stuff like that. And then maybe at the end of the day, there's some time for me to go to a rehearsal. And
you're also a visionary, though, because you have to stay knowledgeable. And by the way, for those wondering, yes, I'm going to have the three random questions for Gino. So relax, I've got the questions all set. We'll get to in a minute.
I'm so worried about the three random questions.
You have to stay educated on not just what's going on in the tech world today, but what's going to happen in 2 years. So you almost have to have that crystal ball looking into it, saying, okay, you know what? There's going to be a lot less people wanting A, B, and C, but D, E, and F is really what's going to be big. We need to educate ourselves on that. We need to position ourselves and partner up with the software solutions that can provide those features. Yes?
Yeah. I mean, that's the reason why I'm getting an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't know. Yeah,
I don't know what, you know, it's like I want to have one so that I know what people are excited about, because I have to talk that language. You know, I have to be excited along with them, and I have to be like, oh, yeah, and did you also know that you could use it for this? And, you know, this is how. So I just came back from the LAVU conference, which is something, to be honest, like, we've not done a lot of point of sale. LAVU is a iPad restaurant based point of sale.
Yep.
We have not worked with a whole lot of restaurants. We worked with some, and we haven't done a whole lot of point of sale. But I'm really interested in this because I see that a lot of restaurants are always opening, and a lot of restaurants have old point of sale systems. And when they replace them, it will at some point be that it'll be tablet-based point of sale.
It's already in a few places, but it's still a very new concept for restaurants. And let's be honest, restaurants, really, really tight margins. An iPad with a cloud-based POS, that's much more affordable.
Yeah,
than a whole server in the back and printers and boy, that's not good.
If an iPad breaks, how easy is it to go to the Apple Store and get an iPad, download the app? If you've got like a Micros terminal and it breaks, it's like thousands of dollars, and you have to hire a dude to come schlep it over and hook it up, and it's a big ordeal.
DudeRepair.com, they're expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. So I see that as an opportunity, and it's something that so that's something that I'm really interested in. And I love going to these conferences, because just from going to this very specialized conference focused on this one thing, I learned a whole bunch of stuff that I'm taking back to Mac Hero, and you know, about how there's just smart people out there. There's a lot of ACNs there. I met a lot of ACNs I'd never met before, and they're smart people, and I love seeing what they're doing, you know, how they're managing stuff, and tell them what I know too, like how we're told a lot of people just about, you know, some of the cool stuff that we use, like we use Monkeybox and Watchman, and those are tools made by other ACNs that we use that we think are pretty fantastic. So yeah, it's good stuff.
Have you ever gone to the Mac Tech conference?
Oh yeah, we're there every year. That one, they have it in Chicago, so usually it's at least me, and it's, I think last year we had two of our other technicians were there as well with me.
We will be the one in California in Los Angeles is like a 4-day, 3-day event.
Oh, the big one.
The big one. We'll actually
be there.
Yeah, I
haven't been to the big one
yet. You should come to the big one. I think you'd really enjoy it. Plus, you get to meet me in person. How about that?
All right.
So before we get to the three random questions, I do want to ask a little bit more about the new MacBook. What's your thoughts on this? One port, a mobile processor, 8 gigs of RAM. It's not the fastest. It doesn't have a lot of storage. One port as a old Final Cut Pro guy. What's your thoughts on this new computer?
Well, I mean, you also didn't mention the colors, but...
Well, everybody's going to get the blingy gold.
It's so funny because I think color is actually pretty important in some way, but I think it's interesting. I think that the one port is Thunderbolt, right?
No, it's USB-C.
Oh, okay.
And
so,
that's the power, it's everything. It's got one port. There's no extra power plug. That's the port.
Man, I gotta, honestly, I haven't even had time to geek out about it yet. I have to go back and watch the, I've been up on the iWatch stuff, but this last week since it launched, the only thing, to be honest, that really stood out to me was the color.
Yeah.
and it's interesting because I get affinity for certain products because of their physical appearance that I think has a certain quality to it. And I know that this is like, you know, me sitting cross-legged and it sounds like
totally
bizarre stuff.
No, I think everybody feels that way to one extent or another. I mean, there's a reason that everybody wants a Porsche and not everybody wants,
right,
you know, a Ford Escort.
So, for example, I'm talking to you right now on a salmon pink-colored iPhone 5C, which I got by returning my my iPhone 6.
Really?
Yeah. And or actually at the time, no, sorry, it was a 5S. I had a 5S. I returned the 5S and got the C just because I thought it was the most beautiful, you know, phone object. I thought it was just an amazing. I love the plastic. Totally thought that they should have, you know, made the professional hardware and the plastic case and just, you know,
got rid of the glass and metal.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the glass and metal is just such an inevitable, didn't surprise me. I'm like, yeah, you know, that's what you've been doing. The C was like, holy cow, I've never seen anything like that before. I just thought it was so cool. And the colors were just amazing. So I just I'm like, you know, what's going to make me happier? The thumbprint unlock or this color that I get to look at all the time. And I'm like, the color excites me. So I know that's like a weird kind of thing, but
no,
I liked it.
Every single person
just liked it more.
Yeah.
And the performance in the C is still pretty good. So, you know, I don't do any like major gaming or anything that on my phone.
Right.
So I just, I'll say that I think that the color choices are pretty cool. That's how much
I've been saying for a while.
From an aesthetic standpoint, I think it's pretty cool, and I think that for most of my customers, that's going to be more important in some ways. Like that, I have clients where like they want to use something, even though they have to give up functionality. They're like, it just looks so cool, and you know. So I think that that there's something to say about that. But I'm totally in the dark about USB-C.
I'm still on the fence about that computer, to be honest. I don't know if I think it's a brilliant idea. I think it's overpriced because it's in my opinion, it's kind of a glorified Mac netbook. But it's not. I don't know. I'm just on the fence. I really have to touch and feel one and play with one to see if I'm going to fall in love with it or not. And I do think it's going to be the perfect computer for a lot of people.
Yep.
They don't need a whole ton of ports. They're not going to put an extension, a big monitor on it, for instance.
Right.
You know, they may not need a whole lot of storage. So for them, it might be a great computer. But for the price that they're charging, I kind of wish it would have been about $300 per model cheaper. And I think it would have hit a sweet spot that Apple's not in right now. But, you know, they didn't call me and ask. So,
I assume they're going to have a a whole lot of adapters and stuff for that USB-C to let it talk to like a monitor or something.
Absolutely.
Right?
So, absolutely.
I mean, there's a whole thing there where they've got, you know, Apple is the, you know, monitor display adapter of the month club. So now you get to complete your collection with a whole new set of monitor adapters. So
I like that. That's
you know, there's
hopefully they'll come in the right colors to match the MacBook that you have, though, right?
Yeah,
you got to have the space age gray, you got to have the silver, and you got to have the gold.
That's true.
I do wish they would give us more options in colors. I've always thought I liked it when the iMacs were in all these different colors. I thought it was so great. I mean, it wasn't just, okay, I want one with this size screen and this size hard drive, and I want, you know, the Bondi blue, or I want the Dalmatian looking one. The flower power. I mean, that was cool. I don't know why maybe this is a signal that we're going to return to that to some degree. It can't get here fast enough for me. I think it's great.
Yeah, especially if they, I mean, with the, you know, the processes that they're developing, the manufacturing processes that they have now to just make this stuff look like, you know, I think the iPhone 5C to me was like just when I saw it in person, I was like, oh man, I really want that. Yeah, I thought it was just such a great looking product.
All right, Gino, it's time. Three random questions.
All right.
These are questions that I picked three different ones for each guest, and it has nothing to do with the guests themselves or anything that we've talked about. And it helps foster communication, and it gets people to get to know you just a little bit better. You ready?
Okay. Yep.
What's your favorite room to clean?
Oh.
Yeah. See, you got to think about it, don't you?
Favorite room to clean?
Favorite room to clean. But he's struggling.
I mean, there's so many that I actually like to clean. I'd have to say it would probably be kitchen.
Yeah.
Definitely the kitchen. I do a lot of cooking.
Yeah.
Yep. I do a lot of cooking. I like having a nice, clean kitchen. And right now I'm looking at my kitchen. It's kind of a mess.
and it's healthier to have a clean
kitchen.
After this call,
you know, that's one of the things that I do when I work from home is I'll clean and stuff like that while I'm, you know, thinking about something or if I'm on a long conference call or something like that, or if I'm going over something or answering someone's question, sometimes I'll do a little cleaning, you know, while I'm talking. I like to multitask, but definitely kitchen. I like sanitizing everything. And
yeah. Do you put headphones on and listen to some jams while you're cleaning?
Almost always Harry Potter on audiobook.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The Stephen Fry version,
yeah, absolutely. Jim Dale is fine in a
but Stephen Fry,
all the way.
Otherwise, you're a Philistine. Come on.
Yeah, either that or some tunes, you know, something, yeah.
That's about the only time that I've really enjoyed some of the Bluetooth headphones that I have, is when I'm cleaning or doing yard work. It's so much better than having this cord dangling into my pocket.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Now, the next question, for probably 99% of all the guests that I've had on OWC Radio at this point would have said, I think, in my opinion, probably would have said no. And I'm sure some of those guests are listening, and then when they hear the question, they'll be like, I absolutely can. But with your theater background, I don't know. I think it's 50-50. Can go either way. Ready?
All right.
Can you somersault? He's thinking.
Yes.
You can somersault. You could.
I don't want to, like, could I somersault in a way where I don't harm myself or others? that I could not 100% guarantee. I could somersault. I mean, I'm not, yeah.
You could somersault.
Yeah.
I absolutely couldn't. I wouldn't even attempt it. I see someone somersault and I just go, no, I can't do that.
I could.
When's the last time you actually had to do attempted a somersault? See, this is going to be a question that sticks with you throughout the day. The next time you're in this big clearing of grass, you're going to think, I should see if I could still somersault.
Honestly, not since like middle school, you know, like not since like middle school gymnastics class or whatever. But if I had to now,
confident that you can get the legs up and you could get one done.
I mean, I'll do a video and you can post it on the podcast and we can see.
If you do a video, I'll put it on our social media. Okay. And I'll link it back to this show and go, proof that Gino can do a somersault.
It's either going to be spectacular or it's going
it'd be spectacular either way.
Yeah. It's either going to be like amazing, like head or, you know, or like I'll end it and then I'll just scream in pain. And
we'll slow it down where you see the arm start to break right there.
I'm trying to think of compound fractures. There's not a lot of wide open space in the city.
That's what I'm saying. The next time you're in a nice grassy area. I mean, if you're in New York, you just go down to Times Square, but they don't have that in Chicago.
I mean, I'm going to give myself a 30 day deadline. Within 30 days, this will happen. And I'll have a video of it.
Okay, we've got it right here live. I'll say on tape, but it's not tape. Gino from Mac Hero is going to attempt a somersault, video it, send it my way, and I'm going to post it to the OWC Twitter and Facebook account when he does.
All right.
Good or bad?
We're good or bad.
All right.
And I won't do like a million takes. This will be just the first take.
Gotcha. The first
take. I won't even practice. I'll practice mentally.
It's on an honor system because we have no one to watch you to make sure that you didn't practice.
Okay, honor system's fine.
Yeah. Last question, and you might have already answered this, to be honest. What was the last good book you read?
Oh.
And audiobooks count, because, I mean, you know, I personally like to read, and I listen to a lot of things. I do listen to some audiobooks. I kind of like when I'm in the car listening to podcasts more, because I like reading. It's
yeah. I mean, honestly, well, Harry Potter, I've reread that so many times. I think I'm on my like sixth iteration of the audiobooks.
My wife is actually reading Harry Potter to our youngest kids right now at bedtime.
So good.
I think they're on the fifth book.
Mm-hmm. I would say, I've actually recently read a lot of books that I was not happy about. Last good one was maybe about a couple, maybe about 6 months ago, and I'm a big audiobook person. I get very distracted by reading regular books, but I can absorb an audiobook, and I remember things that I hear a lot better than things that I read. So I retain better listening anyway. So I did this audiobook of is a Jane Jacobs book called The Nature of Economies, and it was really interesting. It's like Jane Jacobs is an author who wrote The Death and Life of Great American Cities.
Yep.
She's really influential in like city planning and about how you know, how city planning in the United States is largely responsible for like increases in crime and stuff like that.
Yes, city planning is usually done extremely poorly.
Yeah, and she has a lot of ideas that really resonated with me about how, you know, you want to keep things. She moved to Toronto, became very influential in city planning in Toronto, and I like Toronto. I think it's a great city. And but this book in particular was really interesting. It was kind of a dialectic style book where she's talking about how economies grow. And she's making parallels to the way nature evolves and how economies evolve based on needs and how things organically will come up to like fulfill those needs, and how when you have less friction and more freedom for people to kind of interact with each other and communicate and help each other out, that you get really good economies that, you know, people develop skills organically. And I think it's really cool. There was a section in there about technology specifically and about how in some places where they just sort of transplant technology. So, you know, like the third world nations where they'll just bring all of this equipment that's been developed and engineered overseas, and they just put the people there in charge of running the equipment. It's very unsuccessful in many ways because they don't know anything about the history of that technology and how it developed. And what she's kind of saying is that you have to, people have to sort of organically go through these process of sort of developing technology. And I kind of worry sometimes because now we have so much of our technology that's built on these fundamentals of computer science that I don't know if people who are developing technology, I don't know how much of that those fundamentals are being retained, or if we're just building off of the last generation. and kind of losing some of the root fundamentals of how this stuff works. And so I was thinking about that. And
I think it's a valid concern. I mean, there's a lot of times that I try to figure out how we got to where we are and how it relates to what we had before. And some respects, I can't figure out how we got here because it really doesn't have anything to do with the way things were before. And I almost start getting a little melancholy for the way things were. And I think how much better it was. And then I step back and go, no, it's so much better now.
Yeah.
Every single thing we do as far as technology is concerned is better now. It just is. The computers are better. The internet. I mean, it's just everything is so much better. But do we lose something when we don't really retain that knowledge, bringing it forward? I see a lot of the same mistakes that were made in the 90s and the 2000s in tech companies being made by tech companies today. It's almost like they don't know what came before.
Right.
So, yeah, it's like a good book.
Yeah, it's a really neat book. The way it's written is really weird because it's like a conversation. It's one of those dialectic books, so it's like it's not her writing about this. It's she kind of makes a fictitious story about people engaging in a conversation. So if you can get past that, it's kind of weird. It's like these four people, and they all like each one of them represents an archetype of a particular kind of point of view. And
sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's neat, but it's one of the reasons like why whenever I go conferences and stuff like that, and you know, I try to learn as much as I can from the people who are even, you know, who've been doing this longer than I have, and because there's a lot of wisdom there with what has come before.
Absolutely, and these conferences really can help you not necessarily take their ideas, but at least take the concepts and apply them to what you're doing in your business. And because let's be honest, something that works in Charlotte may not work in Chicago, and vice versa. But the core idea, that may work.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So that's all my random questions, by the way.
Oh, okay.
See, and phew, you had no idea where they were going.
No idea.
You had no idea you're going to talk about The Nature of Economies by Jane Jacobs on this episode. And I will put, for those listening, I will put a link in the show notes. Just go to blog.maxsales.com. I'll have a link to the book on Amazon, and you can check it out yourself. I'll put a link in probably to the physical, well, probably the Kindle book, but if you want to find the audiobook, I'm sure you'll be able to do that as well. Where can people find out more about Mac Hero online, Gino?
www.machero.com.
Were you surprised that that name was available, that URL?
Oh, one more quick. I've got a great story. Yeah, it was not available when I started the company. It was machero.net, but I saw that .com was going to be available, and I wrote a very polite letter to the guy in Denmark who had that domain, looked like he wasn't really doing anything with it. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, I'm a young business owner in Chicago. I've got a company called Mac Hero. I'd like to buy this domain off of you before it gets released to the wild, and I can give you $100 for it. You know, and expecting the guy to be like, no, I want $1,000 or, you know, whatever. Guy was so nice. He just said, you know what? I'm not going to renew it. I'm not using it for anything. You can just have it. He was like, I'll just transfer it over to you. He's like, you don't have to pay me anything.
Wow.
I'm like, holy cow.
Doesn't really surprise me though. I mean, there's some really great people in this world.
There really are. You just got, you know, if you're just nice to people and you're just like nice and honest and tell them what you're trying to do. Sometimes there are other nice and honest people out there that appreciate that.
You know, so. I've said that In the world, 99% of people out there are very nice people that you would be safe leaving your kids with.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because of the 24-hour news cycle that we live in, we hear about that 1%.
Yeah, right.
You know, but I do like to try to remind people, most people are great people. They're very nice. They're very accommodating. If you're lost, they're going to give you good directions. But, you know, it's easy to lose sight of that, I think, in today's day and age. And I like to try to make a point of, no, most of us are good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you on Twitter?
Yeah, we're on Twitter at Mac Hero. A lot of times we get Machero, so I'm almost thinking of like maybe we'll open like a taqueria or something.
Capitalize on it.
Tech support in enchiladas.
There you go. Gino, thanks very much for being on this episode of OWC Radio. Is there anything that you want to tell our listeners before we wrap up?
Just be excellent to each other.
That's perfect. Thanks everyone for listening to this episode of OWC Radio. And once again, this week, at the end of this week, Thursday and Friday, I will be at the McCall Conference in Detroit, Michigan. So if you're in the area, make sure you swing by the conference, especially if you're an educator, because that's kind of what it's for. And check out the products in person. You can see some of OWC's products right there, as well as some newer tech products. So check us out at the McCall Center, or at the McCall Conference this week. And next month, like I was talking about earlier, we will be at NAB. I'll be there as well. So if you're in the Las Vegas area and you want to come to NAB, make sure you swing by the OWC booth. Thanks again, Gino. Appreciate it.
Sure. Happy to be here. Thanks, Tim.